Blog Talk Radio.
Talk and welcome to the Zurian Show. I hope, as always, that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and, of course, good spirits. As for me, I am doing fine. Ladies and gentlemen, every day, I'm sure that most of you get bombarded with different things that make you go, Today's story is one of those things that make you go, Why are you asking me? Are you even listening to what I'm saying? Why are you even asking me and are you listening to what I'm saying? Is something that I know some of us say and or have said on many given times for many different reasons. Have you ever had a person ask you a question that they really didn't have an answer to, or that they could have taken care of it themselves, or you know, you get somebody that brings something to your attention, and that person that's bringing it to your attention could fix it or adjust it or correct it just as easily as you could. However, the problem is that that person has no intention on fixing it. That person has no intention on doing anything that's going to correct the problem, because that person wants you to do it. They want you to change your schedule. They want you to adjust. They want you to fix the particular problem, and even if it's a problem that they may have caused. The art of communication is a funny thing. I mean, it really is. And it also really is an art. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people no longer understand what the art of communication is, because they're not communicating. I mean, nowadays we have hundreds of ways, thousands of ways to communicate our message to individuals from right next to us to across the world. We've got Facebook, we've got LinkedIn, we've got Twitter, we've got Blog Talk, we've got the regular radio, we've got television, we've got, you know, satellite radio, we've got cable, we've got Wi-Fi, we've got all of these different means of communication, of course, and email, you know, and text messaging and all of those things. We've got all of these different tools. However, it really seems like most of us are really not communicating effectively. And part of it, I believe, is laziness. I mean, even if you look at texting, I remember when texting first came out, I was like, okay, this is going to definitely improve the overall IQ of my fellow man. And then I thought about it. You know, and I was like, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Then what did we end up having? LOL, laugh out loud, you know, or other little short codes to now make the art of communicating even shorter. Now, I am definitely an advocate for text messaging. Matter of fact, I am a strong advocate for text message marketing. And if you're looking for some text message marketing, send me an email or send me a text, whatever you want to do. However, the art of communication is one that is definitely diminishing. We don't communicate appropriately. We don't communicate often enough. And then when we do communicate, a lot of times we do it the wrong way. Perfect example, email. A lot of us use email like email is going out of style. I mean, I actually have people now that not only BCC every email they send, but they CC themselves. I mean, come on, guys. When did we get so anal retentive? When did it come to the point that you had to do so much to cover your butt when you have every honest and legitimate intention on doing the right thing? And for you people that do the BCC and the CC thing and all of that other stuff, please understand. I understand that the CCs are required if you need to let more than one person know, but you only want one person to reply. However, understand, too, that when you are BCCing people or when you are CCing yourself, you are, in my mind, you may not agree, you are destroying your overall credibility with the people in which you communicate with. Why? Because those people, once they find out that you're a BCC king or queen, they're going to stop communicating with you. Also, whatever happened to taking responsibility for the things that we do and to stop trying to pass the buck, move blame, or make it somebody else's problem? I just don't understand. I really don't. And the fact of the thing that we actually started with you know, if you have something that you see needs being corrected, why can't you correct it? I don't understand that. I get that all the time. People call me and say, you know, could I come to your office and talk to you about something, or could you come down and see me about something? And I go down there, and it's basically somebody looking to defer blame. It's somebody looking to not take responsibility for whatever the heck it is that's going on, and they're looking for somebody to give them the okay to move forward. Ladies and gentlemen, it's really not the way to go through life. You know, most of us work a job. All right, most of us have supervisors and people that are over us. I understand that. That's not a problem. However, I still do not agree, and again, this is my personal belief, I still do not agree with the word boss. You know, as I've said to many of my supervisors over time, and I've had a few, you know, I have no bosses. Even when I was in the Marine Corps, which was for 22 years, I told my OICs and COs, I have no bosses. You are the commander, you are the general, you are the lieutenant colonel, you are the major, whatever it is that your rank is. However, that's where the buck stops. And why does the buck stop there? Because I have a choice. My choice is whether I'm going to adhere to what you're saying or I'm not. My choice is to understand that whether it goes against my moral grain, my ethical grain, or just my personal grain as to whether I'm going to do it or not. Now, I'm not saying that I refuse to do a direct order or refuse to do what I'm supposed to do. What I am saying is that with everything that you give me, since God was kind enough to give me a mind and one that works, at least most of the time, then that also gives me the power to choose which orders I am going to abide by and which I am not. Also taking into consideration that the orders that I am going to abide by are the orders that I feel are lawful and correct and need to happen at the time. Sometimes, again, I may have taken a few different orders or instructions that I may not have been 100% sure about, but that's because the timeliness was at the essence at the time, and also because there was a need that needed to be taken care of, and I also felt that that need needed to be immediately. And I also based that information on, or excuse me, my decision on the fact that I believed that the person that was actually instructing me to take care of whatever it was I needed to take care of had more information and better information and more sound information than I had at the time in which I was taking the action, but that the action needed to occur. So, again, that whole thing about your boss, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you right now, to the best of my knowledge, you have three bosses, all right? Count them, three. And the third one is questionable. One of your bosses is yourself. The second boss that you have is your God, if you believe in God. If you don't believe in God, then that removes that one. And the third one is your significant other, or the person that you have the utmost respect with. In most cases, it would be your spouse. Or again, depending on your marital situation or lack of, your significant other. That's it. You have no other bosses. You have no other supervisors. You have no other people that can tell you what to do, and you have to do it. And even with them, what did God give you that made you different from the animals? He gave you something called choice. So since you have choice, that's the thing that distinguishes you from everything that runs around with four legs and hangs from trees and all of the above. Now, mind you, if you want to hang from some trees, have a good time. But either way, you get what I mean. So the other thing is that we all need to take responsibility for the different things that we do. And that's where we come back. Why are you asking me? If you know the answer to the particular question, then how about let's move forward? Let's stop playing games. Let's stop acting like kids. Let's stop acting like this is a quiz show or you're asking me a question because you know the answer. If you know the answer, then move forward. Take care of it. Shut your mouth. Leave me alone. Okay? If you don't know the answer, then by all means ask me the question. If neither one of us know the answer, then guess what? I am sure that if we put a little bit of effort into it, we can find out what the answer is. Also, if there's an action that needs to be taken, ladies and gentlemen, how about, again, showing some fortitude, showing some effort, and just taking care of it? Now, if it's outside of your job to take care of, then maybe you need to train somebody else to do it. If you've got somebody else that's supposed to be doing it and they don't know it, then guess what? They're also not going to be able to do the job. They're also not going to be able to produce the effect or the thing that you want them to produce. So what should you do? You should give that person training. I have been on so many jobs and so many tasks in my lifetime where nobody was given the training. Everybody that's learned the job has learned the job on their own. And how they learned the job on their own? Basically, they were told either sink or swim, either get across or fall on your sword. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the way to run a railroad, okay? One, you're setting the person up for failure. Two, when the person fails, guess what? You're now between a rock and a hard place. Why? Because legally, if that person comes after you, all they've got to say is, I've never received any training, and everything that I've done on my own. One, it's not very productive. Two, that person cannot read your mind. Plus that, again, that person has no idea or does not probably have the same skill set that you have, good, bad, nor do they have the same experience. So, when I also say, are you even listening? What I'm saying is that most people are aware. They really are. They're aware that the person that they're talking to doesn't have the knowledge. They're aware when somebody brings something to their attention. But because of political reasons or social economic reasons or just the fact that they don't want to understand, they move forward with it the way that they've been doing it. And what ends up happening? Again, you are now putting people at a disadvantage. Now, there's not a disadvantage when everybody's moving forward and that person is getting the job done. When is there a disadvantage? When is there a problem? There's a problem when the person who's been giving the task, giving the responsibility, does not perform the task to code, does not perform the task in the manner that the individual that assigned them the task wanted it done. Employers, let me tell you a little shocking bit of information, and I actually just discovered this recently myself, taking a continuing education program, and I got to talk to an employment lawyer and attorney, young lady with a nice little Esquire behind her name, who is an expert in the field of human resources and things along that nature. What she said, which again shocked me because I didn't know this information, is that more than 65% of the companies that are taken to court because they are sued for wrongful termination or unlawful termination or discrimination or what have you, either way, somebody that was supervised by someone in their company that was representing their company, was an agent of their company, because they were sued, they lost 4 years, forever. I always thought that the employer usually won those suits. So it was definitely an interesting bit of information to find out that in more than 65% of the cases, the employer loses. Another shocking bit of information, and I know this particular show isn't about employment law or any of that stuff, and I'm just talking because I don't profess to be an expert in this area. But another shocking bit of information for me, employer and employee managers and supervisors, were you aware that if you are basically named in a suit where your company let somebody go, and that person decides that they want to hold you partially responsible, so they sue not only the company, but they also sue you for their termination, did you know that the nice big company that's supposed to be working, that you're working for and that you're representing as an employee? And don't get it twisted, ladies and gentlemen. Please remember that either way, you are still an employee. As somebody likes to say all the time, your name is not on the front door. Did you realize that you can be sued separately and that your company cannot back you? And the reason that your company cannot back you, this was another news flash information for me, was because technically if you are being sued by somebody for doing a particular thing and they have named you in the suit while they're suing the company, the reason that the company cannot back you is because if the company were to back you, it would be a conflict of interest. Why is that? I thought the same thing. The reason for that is because the company is saying that you did a certain thing. If you're suing the other person or the manager in that particular company, then that person is saying that they didn't do whatever it was that you said that they did, which the company says that they did to get you fired or to get you relieved of your position. So it's really interesting. My last little tidbit of information for those of you that do not want to take responsibility, for those of you that are asking me or are not doing the right thing, and I'm talking again about the title of the show. Did you know, another news flash, that the average lawsuit that somebody brings against you and your company can cost you, as in that supervisor or manager? Sorry about that blog talk. That was a really loud little noise. Did you know that you individually can be sued for anywhere to $25,000 to $60,000 individually? That's a really good little hit to your bank account. $25,000 to $60,000, and that's in legal fees alone. So I really don't think that most of us are prepared for that, and I don't really think that most managers or supervisors are aware of that. I do know that most people don't have that kind of nest egg just sitting in their bank account waiting to pay some legal fees. Now, I'm not saying that you can't try to sue them for the cost of your legal fees and all of that stuff, but, you know, that's probably going to be a whole nother kit and caboodle of effort that you need to put forward in order for you to get what you want to get or to get your money back. Anyway, again, sorry for that little drop or noise that you guys heard earlier. But, again, I thought that those were really interesting tidbits of information. So, if you're going to do something, ladies and gentlemen, you need to take responsibility and do what you need to do, because the end result is you're still responsible. The end result is you're still going to be called on the table. And I don't know about you, but I've actually been in a few of those suits where the company has decided, you know, the company that you work for has decided that they're going to fight because that person applied for unemployment, or they're going to fight because that's a ding against the individual company. And every company has its own right to, you know, protest the fact that somebody was fired and to say that that person was fired correctly and that they shouldn't be hit with unemployment. That's the company's right. However, understand, too, that if you're the manager or the supervisor, when you get called into that room, when you get called into that office, you know, for unemployment, for that unemployment hearing, even if it's on the phone, when that person is talking to you, that investigator or the person that's going to be asking the questions on behalf of the state or city or county or whoever handles it where you live, understand that it's almost like you're in a courtroom. That person is more than likely going to ask you yes or no questions. Now, for all of us that live in this world today, we know that we do not live in a yes or no world, do we? We live in a world with, yes, here's the extenuating circumstance. Yes, let me explain how that happened. Yes or no, this is the way that this went. This person that's more than likely going to ask you, unless they're very open, is going to ask you, did you do 1, 2, and 3? Yes or no? They may not give you the opportunity. Again, I said may not give you the opportunity to explain why you did a particular thing. So based on the way that the questions are answered, you can find yourself between a rock and a hard place. And where are we at again? We're back to the process of proper and correct communication. The art of communication is not what it needs to be. However, remember, that investigator or that person that's actually got the case has probably got 100 or so other cases, and they're just trying to get straight and to the point. So your documentation better be incredible. However, again, this really isn't about employment, but again, this was just a little bit of knowledge that I thought would really be interesting to share. So I know sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you just want to scream because it always seems that more and more stuff is getting thrown on your plate. So if you've ever wanted to scream at anyone, listen, you're not alone. You know, we're all having difficulties, we're all having problems, and we're all trying to find ways. The number one cause of confusion at work, most times, or conflict, comes from people not hearing what the other person is saying. So we need to all take a course. I'm presently taking one now in active listening. We need to shut up, and we need to stop having self-talk as we're talking to other people. So that, are you even listening? That's a thing, that's a particular message that a lot of us send to our employees. We send to our supervisors. We send to our significant others because we're not actively listening. We're basically trying to figure out whatever it is that we're going to say next to the person that's talking to us instead of listening to what they're saying. We all are dealing with so many distractions. We all have so many things going on. And with so many distractions and such a high level of stress, along with a packed schedule, it's hard for us to focus on the people around us and for us to stay focused and understand what they're saying because, again, we've got so many different stimulus going on around us. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to not only open our minds, but we have to open our hearts, and we also have to open our channels of communication because communication is an art, and it's become a lost art. You know, you ever talk to somebody and you just missed one phrase? That one phrase can cause you to lose time. It can damage your relationship, and you can't afford it. You know, you have so much time that you can use, and most of us are very so-so listeners. We're not really listening to what's going on. We're not really paying attention. Active listening is the key. It's the key to your communication. It could save you from that lawsuit we were talking about, be it company or employee. Also, bombarding your people with emails and things like that is also a non-productive entity. Another course or program that I took not too long ago basically said that sending a lot of emails actually can hurt you, where most people think that sending a whole lot of emails is a CYA, it's covering my tail. Well, again, email, even though it's a written document, in some cases is up to interpretation. And most of us misinterpret email. Most of us take an email and we read tone into an email that isn't there. We read comment into an email that isn't there. We make the email more than it is and we stress out. I mean, I've recently been in a situation where one young lady was told something to do and her COO or CEO, whatever you want to call it, responded to her email. And I just happened to be sitting next to this young lady, and she, like, jumped out of her skin in fear. I mean, oh, my God, he replied, you know, because this person wasn't expecting that person to email, nor were they expecting that email to, or excuse me, that person to respond so quickly. So, I mean, that is a perfect sign of a dysfunctional workplace. When you've got supervisors and managers afraid to send an email, when you got supervisors and managers scared to send in a document because they feel as though they're going to be so belittled and so verbally punished that they're afraid to do that, ladies and gentlemen, that's scary. However, in this particular market where now a lot of employers feel as though they have the power to do and say anything, because the market is so bad, you know, we need to also protect ourselves, and you need to truly be careful. So this is not only going out to the people that are employers, but it's also going out to the employees. It's also going out to the employers. Guys and gals, we need to check ourselves because a lot of you are making hostile work environments. A lot of you are causing people undue stress. Do you want to put it on your conscience that some guy that needed help that you didn't see needed help because you were so busy saying that they were an underperformer, not realizing that they were going through several changes in their lives, you were the cause or part cause of them doing something heinous to themselves or their family or to other people that had nothing to do with either of the situation? Is your title and your self-involvement so important to you that it's worth the destruction of another human life? Okay? There's another thing that I always say to people, and I think people miss it, misunderstand it. You don't know what another person has done, nor do you know what another person's been through. Now, I'm not saying that you should be scared to go to work or that you should be scared to delegate or you should be scared to give orders or instructions or any of that stuff. What I am saying is that each of us needs to deal with everybody as an individual, and we need to treat them with respect and as a person. Because you're not a systems analyst or a programmer doesn't mean that you deserve any less or any more respect than somebody that is. Just because you're a president or a COO or a vice president doesn't mean that you get any more respect than the waitress in your restaurant or the clerk handling your data. Each person deserves to be treated like a human being, and they deserve to feel as though they are respected and honored. Yes, there was a saying, I believe, I forgot the particular motivational speaker that said it, but he said that when we get a title, as we move up in the company, we lose the right to abuse people because now we're put in what? A level of responsibility. So what does that thing say? With great power comes great responsibility. But here's the other thing. Remember that your power as a vice president, as a manager, as a division manager, as whatever it is, as the director, whatever your particular position, your position is only as real as other people acknowledge it to be. So we all need to understand that in the end, if your name isn't on the door, it's just a job. And for all of you people who have your name on the door, what you need to realize is that you only need one or two people to have something bad happen for your doors to close. Listen, today you've learned several tips, and we've talked about different things, effective listening strategies to make sure that people hear you, and also listening to the rules that you should not break, and much more. Three listening rules that I actually have on the site for this show is: one, maintain eye contact; two, watch for nonverbal clues; three, never interrupt another person when they're talking; four, have an honest respect for that person before they walk into the room. Don't preconceive that they've done a certain thing or they're doing a certain thing. Give that person a fair shake, and that fair shake has to start before they even walk in the room. If you've already met with your other management team and you've already made a decision, that person that walks into your room is not going to get a fair shake. Well, guess what? Giving them a fair shake may cause you to not get a fair shake as things go and as things progress, because they're going to progress, and they're probably going to progress in a very negative way. So ladies and gentlemen, take into what I'm saying, whether you're a manager, a supervisor, or an employee, treat everybody with respect. Treat everybody the way that you would like to be treated, because if you don't, it may really come back to haunt you, and it may really hurt you in the long run. Again, it's just that. It's a job. You can get another one. A life is a whole lot more precious. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time and your patience. I hope that you found the show useful and interesting. And as always, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show. Thank you for listening. Please leave any comments that you may have with us, because we would love to hear them. Take care and have a great day and a wonderful life.